I want to ask you a question tonight, and I don't want you to overthink it. That's not the goal. When I ask you a question, the question I'm going to ask you, I want you to think of the first thing that comes to mind. I'm going to ask you a Bible question, okay? So I want you to think of the first Bible story, lesson, scripture that comes to mind, okay? And when you have one come to mind, don't worry, there's no right or wrong answer, just so you, okay? But I need total participation here. When you have one that comes to mind, I just want you to raise your hand and hold it up, okay? Once I ask the question, how can your hand go up when I haven't even asked the question? I got people raising their hands already. When a story comes to mind or scripture comes to mind based on the question I'm going to ask, I didn't communicate that well, did I? I apologize. I'm working on my communication. I want you to think about a specific fight or battle in Scripture. Okay, keep it up there. I saw Brother Lewis's hand first. The Battle of Jericho. Sister Julie? Okay. Keep your hands up. Now, don't be changing what you thought first. Keep your hand up. That's why I want the first thing. Okay, how many of you thought the Battle of Jericho? Wave your hand. Okay, Brother Lewis, you can put your hand down. Keep your hand up if you thought so. How many of you thought David and Goliath? Wave your hand. Why don't you stand if you thought David and Goliath? All right, you can sit down. All right, you can put your hands down. That wasn't a staged question. And if you thought of something else, there was no right or wrong. But I think that's significant. I think it's fair to say, based on my quick run of numbers, that probably 90% or more thought of that battle and that fight. We've heard that story since we were kids, if we went to Sunday school when we were kids. Even if we didn't go to Sunday school, a lot of people know David and Goliath. They talk about it in business, that's David against Goliath. They talk about it in sports, that's David against Goliath. But it comes from 1 Samuel chapter number 17, doesn't it? I want to talk to you tonight about battles. And fighting and winning battles. Anybody ever fought some battles? Don't raise your hand, but I wouldn't doubt, because we're in a room full of humans, some of you might be fighting battles right now. David and Goliath is more than just a Sunday school story. David and Goliath is a lesson to us in so many ways. I can tell you, I'm 46 years old, and I have read and heard the story of David and Goliath without exaggeration probably 1,000 or more times. I have taught, preached, studied this story many, many times. I have never taught it or seen the things that the Lord has been dealing with me about in it the last 3 days. There is so much in this story from history about fighting battles. We have answers in the Word of God. Anybody interested in answers on fighting battles? Amen? 1 Samuel chapter 17. I want you to pray with me right now. I want you to ask the Lord to anoint our ears spiritually to hear and to receive what He wants to do through His Word tonight. In the name of Jesus, come on, talk to Him in your own way. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for every soul that is here with a sincere desire to hear from You and to be in tune with You. I pray that Your Word and Your Spirit would minister according to your will and your design. I pray the anointing of our ears spiritually to hear, the anointing of our heart to receive by divine impartation. I bind every spirit that would war contrary or oppose the will and the direction of God. By the name and the authority of the name of Jesus, I bind every opposing spirit, and I pray the pure flow of ministry that you desire for your will to be accomplished. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. Verse number 1, we'll just start right there. And I will read fast so you follow along, but it's important that we understand setting. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies, that's the enemy, to battle. And they were gathered together at Shochoh, which belonged to Judah, pitched between Shochoh and Azekah and Ep, that's where they were. Verse 2, and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, that's God's people. And they pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side. Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named, what was his name? Right, you've heard of him. Named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. That works out to about 9 feet, 9.5 feet tall. That means if he was standing here tonight, he would be about this tall. That's pretty tall. That could be a little intimidating, couldn't it? Yeah. Yeah. He had a helmet. Not only was he tall, he had a helmet of brass on his head. He was armed with a coat of mail. The weight of his coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. He had greaves, that stuff on his legs, of brass. Target of brass between his shoulders. The staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. His spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. He had his own shield carrier that walked in front of him. You think he was intimidating? You think he was an opposing figure that could strike fear in the heart? You think he might cause people to just run and hide? Yeah. He stood and he cried to the armies of Israel. He said to them, listen to the voice of the enemy. Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and you servants? Who are they servants to? And you, servants, to see, he's already twisting their thinking. They are servants of the Most High God. They are children of the Most High God. But what the enemy has just done is the enemy has aligned them with human government rather than spiritual government. Now we understand God used human government. We've been down that road the last little while. But these are the enemy's words. This isn't the Lord's words. Choose you a man for you. Let him come down to me. Verse 9. If he be able to fight with me to kill me, then we'll be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you'll be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and all of Israel heard those words of the Philistine, watch, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now, this is important. We're talking about battles. Goliath is the enemy. We understand this. I want you to see what the enemy does just in these first 11 verses we read through. Don't worry, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but we're going to jump around and we're going to read a lot of it. The enemy always paints a picture or comes in an appearance that is opposing and seems to be so much bigger than anything that you could deal with. Here is an army of Israel. These are not just boys fresh out of daddy's house. These are men that have fought in battles before. These are men that have had some experiences on the battlefield. These are men that have used a sword successfully. These are men that have fought and won victory by the leading of the Spirit of God working in them. But there is a champion of the enemy, he's called, that comes and appears so intimidating because of his natural stature and because of his natural armor and because of what they see with their natural eye. That his appearance and his words put fear in their heart. See, what we get is we get an understanding of how the enemy works. When you and I battle and the enemy comes against us, he tries to get us to focus on things in the natural. He tries to get us to focus on what we see with our natural eye that tells us this battle's too great. I don't know what to do. This enemy's too big. I can't overcome. This enemy's bigger than anything I've ever dealt with. It gives me fear. I'm dismayed. I don't know what to do. I'm discouraged. That's the effort of the enemy in a battle. And if he can get you and I to focus with our natural eye on circumstances or the problem or the enemy, he's already gaining advantage. It's why the enemy hates it when you and I begin to pray and tap into the spiritual and begin walking in the Spirit, because it exposes him for who he really is. The Scripture says that there will be a day where Satan will be revealed to us. And when he is, it says the people of God will say, "This is what caused us to fear." It's in the Scripture. When Satan is finally exposed to us for who and what he is, or really, more clearly, what he isn't, we are going to look and say, "This is who caused men to tremble." We need to see who we are as a Holy Ghost-filled child of God. Because I promise you, when we realize who we are in the Spirit and we begin to walk in who we're called to be in the Spirit of God, and we stop looking at our battle and our enemy with natural eyes and looking at natural circumstances, the enemy begins to tremble and is dismayed. But we understand from this David and Goliath story how the enemy tries to get us to focus on the natural and what we see with our human eyes and what we hear with our natural ear, rather than seeing with eyes of the Spirit and hearing with the ear what the Spirit of the Lord says and discerning the difference. You still with me? God intends for you and I to win. It's not a hype speech. It's not a pep talk. It's the word of God. He intends that through him we shall do valiantly. For he it is that treads down our enemies, the scripture says in the Psalms. So now we understand one of the enemy's devices. Get us to focus on the natural. What do I see? I can't tell you how many times, and this is not a indictment or a condemnation, so don't let the enemy try to go, oh no, I've done that. Oh, he's talking to me, picking on me. No. This is all of us. I've done this myself. All of us. I can't tell you how many times I've had someone come to me wanting me to agree with them in prayer, or I've talked to someone in my life wanting them to agree with me in prayer. And it didn't take long in the conversation to realize the need for prayer was all based on what they were seeing in the natural. Now you can say, well, the natural doesn't lie. Well, yes, it does. I have to learn. I have to let God be formed in me, his spirit working through me, so that I see things in the spiritual. Right? We shared the example. It was shared last Wednesday night in the Bible study. We watched. We talked about it a few weeks before when the prophet Elisha said of his servant, God, open his eyes. All he could see was the natural enemy around him. He could not see in the spiritual. And so his focus was on the natural. And because his focus was on the natural, fear was gripping his heart. And he ran asking, what do I do? The Syrian army surrounding us. And the prophet Elijah said, after just waking up, sleeping in a little bit late, said, Lord, open his eyes. Let him see that they that be with us are greater than they that be with him. And when he saw in the spiritual, fear left. The enemy, the very first thing, or one of the very first things the enemy always does when you're in a battle, is works to get you focused on the natural and keep your eyes and your thoughts fixed there to plant doubt. And you know why we doubt in the natural? Because in our natural, we never win. In our flesh, we can't win. Can't. Oh, we may have many victories. Well, I did this. It's temporary. We truly win and overcome and are victorious in the Spirit, by His Spirit. All right, so let's move on. Now watch what happens here. Verse number 16. I just want you to, I hate the devil. Watch verse 16. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening. And presented himself, how long did he do this? 40 days. He just would not stop. He just would not, I hate to even use this word because we don't use this in my house ever. He would not shut up. He would not stop talking. Doesn't that just sound like the enemy when you're battling? Morning, evening, day after day, coming and presenting himself to you, showing the problem, showing his face, rearing his head, trying to intimidate, trying to get in your face, trying to get in your ear. That's the work of the enemy. As a child of God, we've got to recognize it. And we see it from the here he is, 40 days in the morning, in the evening, he's stepping on the battlefield and saying, I'm the champion. I defy the armies of Israel. And the children of God, because they're seeing in the natural and hearing in the natural, are cowering and in fear. I hope somebody's hearing the word of the Lord tonight. God does not intend for you to ever cower in fear of the enemy. Ever. I don't care what reason you're running through your mind right now. Ever. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. when you are a Holy Ghost-filled child of God, nothing is greater than what's in you. I don't care how big it looks. I don't care how hard it seems. I don't care how strong the battle and the press. Nothing is greater than His Spirit in you and I. But the enemy will keep coming day after day, daily antagonizing, daily defying. That's what he wants to do, defy. And you know what? He doesn't want to defy you. He's trying to defy the Spirit of God and the God that you serve. And because he can't just go do that to God, he says, I'm going to pick on the children of God. And I'm going to plant fear in their heart. I'm going to plant doubt in their heart. I'm going to antagonize them and see if I can get some victory over them. Because I know sooner or later I'm going to lose. I hope this is helping somebody. Maybe all this is just for me. The Lord's been talking to me. So the enemy keeps coming, keeps coming, keeps coming. David gets sent by God, by his dad, but by God, to take some food down to his brothers that are some of those that are cowering. And David, it just so happens this Goliath comes out while David's there. Verse 23, let's pick up there. Verse 23. And as he is David, as David talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and he spake according to the same words. And David heard them. You know why the enemy keeps saying the same thing over and over again? Because the enemy knows if I'm in the natural, if I'm in the flesh, that if he keeps telling me the same thing over and over, I'll start believing it. And so he'll keep trying day after day. And he doesn't care about time. So he'll keep coming. You're not good enough. You can't win. You'll never overcome. It'll never be different. It's never going to change. Why do you keep trying? And you pick the words. The enemy will keep coming with the same language in the battle. He'll keep bringing the same words, the same words, the same words, the same words. And what happens if I'm listening with my natural, and I'm listening with my natural ear, and I'm not taking the Word of God as truth, and standing on the Word of God, and holding the Word of God to my heart, and in fellowship with God, in prayer, and in His Spirit, then I start believing the lies of the enemy. And God forbid I even start declaring the lies of the enemy. I begin repeating what he says. You know, Brother Hart, I just don't think it'll ever change. Who told you that? Did God tell you that? Or maybe it's like this, if you're bolder, some of us are, when the enemy comes in, we cower. Some of us, when the enemy comes in, our flesh rises up and says, I'm going to fight harder in my flesh. So when the enemy comes in, our response is, I got to do something. I know, I'm just going to. That's what the enemy wants us to do, respond in my flesh. I really feel the Holy Ghost tonight. So David's there. This Yahoo comes out and declares the same thing. Verse 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him and sore afraid. I wonder why just 50 or 60 of them didn't just take off and go in and say, you know what, enough is enough. Let's just, he's asking for one. We're not working on his rules. Let's just go take him out. There was a whole army there. Don't let the enemy trick you into trying to fight on his terms. That's what Goliath did. Goliath dictated the terms of the battle. Send me a man. And if I win, you serve us. If you win, we serve you. He dictated the terms of the battle. That's not his right. You are a child of God. And you have the Word of God. And you are filled with the Spirit of God. If not, you can be. And as a Spirit-filled child of God, we set the terms of the battle. I have three kids. We battle every once in a while. Nothing like this. And I don't remember, I honestly can't think of a time where my kids ever got bold enough to decide they were going to tell me how it was going to go down. They'd have found out real quick that they did not set the terms on how things were going to go down. Why would my children not try to set terms with me on how it was going to go down? Any ideas? Authority. You say, well, they're scared of you. I don't think my kids are scared of me. I mean, they have a reverential fear, but they're not scared of me. Authority makes the difference. Now, I just share that example because as a child of God filled with the Spirit of God, you have authority over the enemy. Not because I say so, because the Word of God says so. And either this word is true or it is not. And Jesus said, behold, or look, pay attention. I give you power. That word is authority there in the Greek. I give you power over all the power of the enemy. And by the way, the word power for the enemy isn't authority. The word power for the enemy is simply might and strength, because the enemy really doesn't have any authority when it comes to the authority of God operating through a life. So they fled, and I'm hurrying before you flee out of here tonight. Verse 25, and the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that's come up? Surely to defy Israel he's come up, and it'll be that the man who kills him, the king will... Verse 26, and David stood and said, what will be done to this man that kills the Philistine, takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would defy? Notice he didn't say the armies of Israel. You see how David's thinking? He didn't say, the Philistine keeps saying, I defy the armies of Israel. He was keeping it in the natural. You're the servants of Saul. You're the armies of Israel. When David heard that, something rose up in his spirit. And he didn't respond, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of Israel? He recognized, these are the armies of the living God. That tells me he saw it on a different plane. That tells me he saw it in a measure that the others weren't seeing it in. That's why something rose up in him. And it was not fear. It was a boldness that says, let's do something about this. Amen? Verse 27, the people answered him. This is what's going to be done. Then verse 28, his brothers discouraged him. They found fault. Look. Unfortunately, sometimes you have brothers and sisters that aren't walking spiritually as they should. If they discourage you contrary to the word, love them, pray for them, and go on. Don't talk bad about them. Don't run them in the ground. Don't say negative things about them. You which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest ye also be tempted. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. But when you hear in the spirit, you got to have a boldness and walk in it, even when your brothers are working contrary. That doesn't mean they were bad. It just means they had been under the influence of this enemy so long that they weren't able to hear spiritually. But David had been out having some prayer meetings in a pasture with some sheep. He came in and had this spiritual perspective. Amen? I really got to hurry. I know you know the story, but you need to see these things. So David's talking to everybody about this. He says, is there not a cause? What's going on? That's verse 29. And finally, he's talked to enough people that the word gets to Saul, the king. And when Saul heard about it, he sent for David, verse 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart. David's now talking for everybody. He's got some boldness, doesn't he? Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Now, David is a boy. Scripture expects he's between 14 and 16. How old are you, Tino? Huh? 13. So maybe just a year older than Tino and no older than my son. Don't you know he looked intimidating against that 9-foot tall giant with all of his armor? I know, I've seen the Sunday school charts where they have this picture of David and he's sort of this young, muscly guy. No, come on now, look at these two boys. I'm not picking on you guys. You probably lift weights and exercise and all that, but he probably looked like me or Reuben, scrawny and skinny and just. I don't know, but David wasn't this muscled mass young kid. He was a kid. But he had the boldness of the Spirit of God in him. I don't care how old you are. When you stand on the Word and you know it's true and you're filled with the Spirit of God, you can fight the enemy and win. And the beauty is you're not alone. Amen? All right. I really got hurt. Now watch what the king, this is the king. You can see the problem here. This is the king, verse 33. And Saul said to David, I have an encouraging word for you since you want to go fight, David. You are not able. Real spiritual king, wasn't he? You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight him because you are just a youth. And he is a man of war from his youth. Hear me, this is why it's important when you're in a battle to make sure you're getting godly counsel, not just talking with somebody else that you think they've been there before. Saul was the king. David wasn't trying to override his authority, but we can read these words and we realize Saul was wrong. Saul was looking in the natural. David's brothers were looking in the natural. The armies of Israel were always seeing the enemy in the natural. But one young man saw in the spirit and he realized this champion, quote, of the Philistines was defying the living God. And it was a spiritual thing, not a natural thing. It was manifesting itself in the natural, but the battle was spiritual. The enemy wants to keep you and I focused on all the natural circumstances and things in our battle so that we don't realize the spiritual element and begin to pray and fight there. Because when we come against the spiritual element, the giant will fall. David said to Saul, verse 34 through 36, we're not going to read it for sake of time. But David begins to tell him where he slew a lion and a bear with his own hands. David begins drawing on experiences that he's already had in battle. And notice that he says in verse 37, now if you just read 34 through 36, he's talking about killing them with his hands. But verse 37, he declares, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me. David understood, when I slew that lion and bear, it was the Lord that did this in my life. I got an experience in my life where the Lord fought with me and I won a battle. I know most of you in this room. And most of you I've known long enough to know you've won some battles where the Lord has come alongside you and you fought in the Spirit. When the enemy comes trying to deceive you, your voices say you can't do this. You need to reach back there. And you need to say, you know what? I remember when I fought this battle with drug addiction. I remember when I fought this battle with, and you fill in the blank. But God came and he delivered me out of addiction. He delivered me out of this. He delivered me out of that. Yes, you had a part in it, but you and I understand and realize it was a battle that was spiritual. And when God moved in with me, things changed and broke. And you need to declare it in the name of Jesus. I remember when. But the enemy wants to keep you focused on the natural. Verse 38. 39, Saul, the king, still thinking in the natural, says, here, take all my armor. If you're going to go fight him, at least put on my armor. And here's my sword. Verse 39, David girded the sword. This is Saul's sword. He girded Saul's sword and his armor, and he got ready to go. Or he essayed. He did not go because he hadn't proved it. And David said to Saul, I can't go with these, for I have not proved them. David put them off. Now, if you were looking in the natural, you say, dude, you're an idiot. You're a kid. You're going to go fight this giant. Look, he's got this helmet of brass, iron, greave, shield guy in front of him. You're going to go with no armor? Oh, I got armor. But I'm not going to be protected by trying to put things around me in the natural. And isn't that what we usually do when we're engaged in battle or the enemy comes? Well, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to change this. And we start trying to put things in place in the natural. Now, if the Lord directs you to make changes, do it. But do you understand that you're drawing the distinction here? Saul tried to get him to put on this natural armor that he had not proved. In other words, he had no experience with it. He took his staff in his hand, chose five stones out of the brook, and he went. Verse 43. Here comes David. I don't know. I sort of picture him skipping along. I don't think he was walking out there like, oh, man, what have I got myself into? I don't believe that for a minute. I think he's walking out there. I mean, he was human. You understand? I think the adrenaline's pumping. If you've ever been in a fight, you know what it is for adrenaline to pump. Adrenaline was pumping, I'm sure. But not fear. And more than adrenaline, anointing. Anointing of the Spirit of God was upon this young man, we know, because we know the whole story. But anointing. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with staves? Now, I want you to notice this next line here. Listen what Goliath says. And the Philistine, Goliath, watch what he did. He cursed David by his gods. You think it wasn't spiritual? You think it was just some piece of history and there was a battle? Oh, no, no, no. It was spiritual. And that spirit that was rearing up and causing the armies of Israel to cower in fear, when David came out, that dumb idiot spirit looked and said, ah, it's just a boy. I got this. Didn't recognize God was with him because God had clothed him. And Goliath curses David by his gods. It was a spiritual thing. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, I'll give your flesh to the fowls of the air, the beasts of the field." David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a shield." Natural, natural, natural. But I come to you with a sling and a stone. Oh no. David recognized it was spiritual too. He didn't say, "I come to you with a sling and a stone." He said, "I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts," or as is interpreted, "in the name of the Lord of armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." David knew it was spiritual. Verse 46, watch what he says. "This day will the Lord deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you, and I will take your head from you, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth." Why? "That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." David understood this giant is defying the armies of the living God. It is a spiritual attack against the armies of God to breed fear and cause them to live beneath their calling and their place of authority. And David, because of the anointing of God upon his life and his recognition spiritually, he did not come out declaring his wisdom with a sling, but he said, "I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord, the God of hosts, who you've defied. In his name, I'm going to kill you today. And I'm going to cut your head off with your sword." Because he didn't have one. But he told him he was going to cut his head off. So he had a plan. David didn't do it for recognition. David didn't do it because he wanted to be popular. David didn't do it. The why is at the end of that verse. "That all of the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Verse 47, watch, and I'm finishing. "And all this assembly shall know." What's it going to know? "That the Lord saveth not with sword and spear." He doesn't save with natural weapons. "For the battle is..." Who's the battle belong to? Who's your battle belong to? Oh, have you given it to him? "The battle's the Lord's, and he will give you..." Notice David say, "into my hands." Well, who was out there with David? Wasn't it just David? Apparently not. Because David said, "He's going to give you into our hands." Why don't you stand with me tonight? Verse 49. Wouldn't do me any good to leave you hanging there. Water there. David put his hand in his bag, took a stone, slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead. Boy, he hit him good. And he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and he smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran, stood. I love this part. Stood up on the Philistine. I mean, he didn't stand beside him. He stood on him. He stood up on the Philistine and took his sword, drew it out of his sheath there. See, the enemy was such an idiot. He saw David and he thought, I don't even need to take my sword out yet. He took the sword out of his, and he slew him, and he cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, what did the Philistines do? They did what? They fled. They ran. The fear that had been gripping the heart of the armies of the living God, when the spiritual tide turned, the enemy fled in fear. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted, pursued the Philistines till they come to the valley. And you can read the rest of the chapter. Hear me tonight. I do not care what battle you or I face in this journey. The answers are in the book. The understanding of the enemy's devices, the realization that we must battle in the spiritual, and that when we come against things spiritually, the enemy will fall. The enemy will fall. Now, David, I understand he took a sling and a stone. There was something that happened in the natural. But what happened in the natural was a result of what he first did in the spiritual. Did he know how to use that sling? Oh, yeah. He'd been out there in the field plinking stuff, no doubt. Knocking off hyenas, whatever they have out there, and I don't know, whatever tried to come get the sheep. So the Lord used what was in David's hand. My last point here. The enemy tries to make us think we're not equipped with what we need to fight the battle. But if we get in tune with the Spirit of God in the battle, the Lord will use what is in our hand. He did it with David. He did it with Moses. When Moses said, what do I do? He said, Moses, what's in your hand? Well, just this rod, that'll work. See, the enemy wants you looking all these other places. Put your focus back on the Lord of armies. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Would you praise the Lord of hosts with me tonight? I feel victory in the house. I feel impartation. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost quickening things into the Spirit. Hikataha rabasheto loboko roboshitaha. Yila masoto rebiki arabasheto loboko ro. In the name of Jesus, no weapon formed against us will prosper. By the word of the Lord, come on, speak to that thing in the spirit right now. Speak to that situation in the spirit. Ilobo santo reamo ketili esutu. Ilobo sitili emeneleki. Ribo sili e robo shita. Ilondo ria paie. Eleletia rabatashe. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Ila masolo bokoshene. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Ilo santo rei la masoto reika. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Ila masoto reika mayeto. Reconilia suria maiolo rica. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. By the name and the authority of the name of Jesus. Ikata raba shelo bokoro shia raba kandele dia raba shelo bokoro. Hia raba kayele dia ramandolo bokore itaha raba shelo bokore. Hida rama solo rori aramando roko yere le dia ramandolo bosi araba kaha. In the name of Jesus, I pray. The opening of eyes, the opening of understanding by the Word and the Spirit of God. I pray the boldness of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Ido lo santo rei lo cotoroboshea. Hallelujah. Malorori aramando lo boko seyeti aramana. Selorori aramahae. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. I was at a camp meeting some years ago. At the close of a service, it was a youth camp. Most of the kids had already exited the building. They were going over to a place where there was food and games afterwards. There was a handful there. I was praying with a young person to receive the Holy Ghost. God was gracious, filled them with the Holy Ghost. And there was a few others left. And one of the young people that was there, one of their siblings showed up that night, hadn't been there, a little bit older sibling, had showed up, and they were so thankful because he really needed the Lord. He had been given over to other things in the world. And I was praying with this young person, receiving the Holy Ghost, and someone came up and grabbed me because everybody else had pretty much left, and there was just probably 10, maybe 15 at the most people left in the tabernacle there. This sibling that had showed up, they were trying to get him to come inside the church and pray, trying to pull him inside or the building where we were meeting on this campground, trying to get him to come in and pray. He was 17 or 18, maybe 19 years old at the oldest. The Spirit of God was very thick in the room from all that had taken place. And this young man would not come in the building. Siblings were literally trying to pull him in, and he was standing at the door facing with both of his hands on the door as they were just trying to get him to come in. And he began to rise. Spirit that he was subject to began rising up. Finally got him convinced to come inside. He came in. He made it maybe from here to this front row, and he hit the floor. This is near a back door. He was under such spiritual influence, and the enemy was tormenting him is what was happening. So that's when they had come and grabbed me. We began to pray with this young man, and the enemy always tries to make a show. Always tries to make a show, because the enemy wants to be seen, wants recognition, wants to distract, wants attention rather than God receiving attention. So he always tries to make a show. So this young man under the influence of these spirits is on the floor doing stuff, writhing around. People are praying with him. Some people are looking. I stopped. I said, if you're here just looking, leave now. I wasn't kind. I wasn't diplomatic. I was direct. If you're staying, you're praying. Otherwise, you're leaving. And so several left and then a handful. I said, if you're staying to pray, I want you to just go right over there and pray. Myself, another man, and a lady was there. We began praying with this young man. And one of the young men that was there praying with this man that was with us praying, younger man that was there with us praying, he makes this statement when we're praying, and this boy is obviously needing deliverance. He says, ask him his name, ask him his name. I'm thinking, whatever, you know, we're praying. And I'm sure he was drawing on something in the scripture where the Lord, when he got out at the Gadarenes, said, what is your name, right? That's all I could figure. He was drawing off of that scriptural example, and that's sort of where that came from. I don't know, but that's my assumption. Well, the enemy hears if there's doubt or if you're, right? So we're praying. This goes on for about 30 minutes. About 40 minutes into this, and I'm about done. I'm like, because an individual has to want to be delivered for deliverance to take place. I don't know why I'm telling you this, because we're talking about battles, but spiritual. All of a sudden, this young man who's still on the floor, he could never get up. It's amazing all the power of the enemy, but he couldn't even stand up. He turns and he looks at me, and with a little taunting voice, I'm not exaggerating at all, he says, you don't know my name. You don't know my name. I kid you not, just like that. Taunting. Two or three times. Well, Brother Martin, something rose up in me. It was the Spirit of God. I'm sure, because I would have never said what I said. It just, when the enemy that way, it just hits something in my spirit. And I was done. You know what I said? I said, I don't care what your stupid name is. I know the name that is above every other name. And you are subject to that name, and so you have to go. I didn't say anything else. I kid you not. Immediately, three spirits, we watched them, left that boy, and he went lifeless on the floor. What happened? He was in a place of people was like, is he dead? I'm like, no, he's not dead. He's breathing. Peace had come, and that which tormented him had left. I called his name. This is the first time I'd ever met this kid, to my knowledge. I said, hey, why don't you sit up? He sat up. So let's pray. We begin to pray. It wasn't 2 minutes. God filled them with the Holy Ghost. The battle was spiritual. I'm not telling, please don't walk out here and go, man, Brother Hart's telling us every time we're fighting somebody's got a spirit. No. I'm not telling you that. But we need to understand, and I don't think every time something doesn't go my way or your way, it means there's some spirit there. I'm not looking for a spirit under every rock, you understand? But we need to, as children of God, know when we're fighting a battle that we recognize we fight it in the Spirit. Amen? God bless you. You're dismissed.